Welcome to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 90, and I am Libya, your host. And this week we have returning guests.
Peter from West Hollywood.
Marcia from Encino.
And Amy from Encino.
Wow, you guys are living right next door to each other. Look
yes.
at that.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back, Amy. It's been a while.
Nice to be back.
This time in the news, I actually have two items that are kind of rumors, which is very rare that I actually report such things, but we don't have that much news, so I figure why not. And it's interesting. The first is the big rumor that HBO is giving no comment to, which is that Chris Maloney has been added to the cast of True Blood. Now that he is gone from Law and Order, but I kind of really like that idea because I got into him from Oz, you know, where he was,
which was HBO.
HBO, and he was a really, really dark character. And on SVU, he's like the hero type, whatever. And I just watched it just because that was the only way I could get him. So I prefer him as a dark character personally. I think he's awesome as a really just dark, gritty. And there's the rumors that they're casting him as one of the authority, one of the head vampires. Because remember, they're always like, oh, the authority says this and the authority says that.
Okay.
So season 5, we're actually going to see the authority. And the rumors that he's going to be playing one of them, if not the head one. So I like that idea.
I think you... What, did he have nude scenes
in
Oz?
Oh, yes.
Ah, that explains so much right away. Okay, now I know why you want him. All right.
Next is the other rumor is that HBO... Oh, both rumors are from HBO. Interesting. They need to fill in those leaks. The next is that Game of Thrones is going to be renewed before the second season even airs. That they're getting renewed for season 3 and 4 because they're going to take book 3 and make it, they're going to split it into 2 seasons.
Book 3, really big book?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've actually heard from a better source that it's not a rumor. They are actually filming the 2 next seasons, one right after the other, because they've told the actors to plan accordingly for their lives, that they're not going to get much of a break, that they're just going to go and do them both at the same, which I think sounds really good, because I just finished book 1, and I need to start on book 2, and I cannot do it until they actually put it on the air.
Have they talked about whether or not, because they had said that Game of Thrones is only going to be, because of the budget, it's only 10 episodes. Does that mean they're going to, because of the split, are they going to just keep it to 10?
Because
a lot of HBO shows are 13.
Right,
so
but
I,
you
weird.
Have to remember that Game of Thrones costs more than any other show.
Well,
they
yeah,
do.
That's true. Right.
So I think they're probably still going to keep 10, but because of how big that book is, they're going to, for book 3, they're going to do season 3 and 4 back-to-back, so it's going to be 20 episodes to tape.
Although, this is kind of taking a chance, because I thought I had heard from people who had read the books, I thought people were kind of, that people have been lukewarm on the second book, and then they really like book. So, ratings-wise, what if people get disinterested because of the second book? Only from what I've heard, like, I haven't read the second book.
Well, I like the second book.
No, I thought you were okay. I thought you were the one who was like, it's okay, but then it gets really good. Or it might have been your brother.
Oh, okay.
Book 3 or 4 gets really good again.
Three is the book that really gets good. Yeah.
Right.
What I've noticed and why I want to see the show before I read the book is, but with book 1, the writers took out and all the stuff that really didn't matter or the stuff that they thought would bore people, they just left that completely out of the show. So I see the same thing. The things that are going to be an issue that you go, eh, they're not going to put them on the screen. So I'm not worried about these writers.
The main
writers.
Problem that people have in the second book is they introduce a lot of new characters. And so people don't like that. But as soon
as... Well, because then you take time away from the characters you've already
established.
Well,
they killed a lot of them in season 1. So the introduction of the new characters just kind of fills it out. So it's fine.
You need a little more cannon fodder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a lot of those people get killed quickly, too. Yeah. So it's all good.
Now, I do have one piece of news, which is kind of a bass-ackwards news. It's the killing of a rumor. Again, there was... having to do with the Doctor Who movie that they're talking about doing here in America.
Oh, that Yates, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, again, it had BBC and... Ooh, I'm a heathen, I can't remember his name.
Who? Not Russell T. Davies?
No, the other
Moffat?
One. Moffat. Moffat tweeted that if it ever happens, it will be with the present Doctor, with the present cast, and with BBC doing it in England. there is no American version. This guy is just talking trash.
Well, I didn't hear. We never heard it was going to be American. We heard because David Yates is British.
But they were talking about doing an American backing. I read his.
But it was all going to be British cast.
Right. Yeah, it's totally. You can't not be a British cast. Right. Like, I mean.
Well, they've actually. Well, anyway.
I mean, I guess you could theoretically, but.
Well, the idea is that according to Moffat, he's just talking because it's not. BBC will not have him do it. It's only going to be them, and it will always be whoever the present doctor is, if they ever do it.
That sounds like a bad idea. I love Moffat, but I have no desire to see.
Well, he's saying there's not going to be a movie. Basically. Well,
that could be.
No, he really is. Because
I would rather see, if they were going to do a movie, I'd rather it be completely separate. I don't want it to be. I mean, I love Matt Smith, but it's the Serenity problem where then it just becomes a 2-hour extended version of a TV show.
But
which doesn't mean it's bad. It's just who cares?
Nice recovery on that one.
Right. you're arguing over something that Moffat says will not happen anyway.
Yeah,
heard that if this movie thing, it's not till like 2014. It's far away. Matt Smith would be gone by then.
Which is the point.
Yeah.
But
why you could say current Doctor. Might not be Matt Smith.
Right.
Right.
I don't think there needs to be a movie of Doctor Who. It's already epic enough as a TV show.
Yeah. The only thing is I want to see the Time War. That's the only thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would say, a movie would give you an opportunity.
Miniseries.
Not even a miniseries.
2 hours is not enough.
I would say a movie would be give you a different kind of canvas. That's all. All
right, let's get on with the shows. First up, we're going to talk about Homeland. What happened in this week's episode?
Well, this week's episode, they were still going after the
POW, the sniper.
The sniper.
Yeah.
But the question also
now is... Oh,
and
they kidnapped him. Thank you. Okay, I remembered it now. All right, cool. Yeah, this week's episode was really interesting because when they kidnap him out of the grocery store, I was kind of like, all right, how are you going to explain the fact that you beat the crap out of him and held him in some room for some ungodly number of hours? But it was a really good episode because... early on, when he's having this nightmare, he's screaming this person's name, and I was like, who the heck is he talking about? So, this is like 4 or 5 episodes later, and we get the flashback, and they show who he's talking about. However, I still think he was completely manipulated.
Manipulating or manipulated?
He was manipulated, because I think that kid, the guy was like, oh, that kid's my son, I want you to teach him English. I was like, that kid's not his son.
No.
The kid is not his son. And that kid... His entire job was to get him attached to the kid so that they could kill him. That was what that was about. And
that was evil.
That was very evil, but that dude is manipulative. Well, one, the first thing is they tell him that he killed his best friend. Like, they get him to beat the crap out of his best friend and tell him that his friend is dead, right? So he's upset about that. He's like, screw it, I'm not going to do the mission. You lied to me about this. So then they have to do the they're like, okay, we need to kidnap him for retraining. And so they bring him back in. And I was just like, if they manipulated you about your friend, why can't you see that they're manipulating you with this kid?
Because it's so deep. And I think he does realize it, that there are things going on. And... that's part of what good brainwashing is about.
Is you forgive that stuff.
Multiple levels. Because remember, he made a comment a few episodes ago about how he took comfort from the terrorist. But the way he said it made it actually sound like there was a physical relationship because he was afraid. They manipulate in so many different levels.
Right.
And the idea that he's now Muslim is, you know... also a weird situation that even though he wasn't going to help them anymore, he still was being devout. Yet I just see so many layers to this. I'm very glad for the show. I'm very happy because you don't know what the hell's going to happen next.
Right. And that's the thing, is they keep changing where you think the show's going, mm-hmm. which I think is really, really good because like at the end of last week, he very obviously had broken away from them. And when he beat the crap out of the consulate guy, he's like, you guys lied to me, you manipulated me, I'm out, I'm not doing this anymore. And so they basically grab him, soften him up by beating the crap out of him. drug him with whatever, and then they basically reestablish their programming.
Yeah, yes.
And it was a good episode.
It's also interesting how the FBI and the CIA are always, always 2 minutes behind. They're 2 minutes behind driving up the street in one of the other episodes, so they miss the terrorist.
Well, we know there's a mole.
But there's also 2 minutes again. Having him leave, and then he goes up the street, and then up the street next is them. It's just too weird about... And then the question also is, so who is the mole?
Well, yeah, I don't know. Actually, what's weird is... I don't know if we're supposed to suspect Saul. Because Saul, remember, he screwed up the lie detector test. Remember?
Yes.
And they tried to make it seem like, oh, he's just always nervous. Well, and that's why he's... But that's why he always screws up the lie detector.
That's the thing. They said he always screws up. But yet, he let her get away with stuff that's... You know, you don't know. I think he's a red herring. They always have to have somebody there that you're looking at and you're going, ooh.
But I mean, it feels
it's really
like...
somebody else. And I think it's somebody small. I think it's somebody on the team that's there week after week on our screen, but we don't notice them because they haven't said anything.
Well, there's that, but I kind of feel like, I agree with you. It feels like he's too big of a character to be the mole. You know what I'm saying? His character is too big for him to be the mole. That's why I think it's not him.
Mm-hmm.
But it is really suspicious. Like, I can't see the CIA keeping an agent who always fails his lie detector. That's crazy. It's like, he fails his lie detector, he comes back the next day, and then he passes it. Like, what? Really? Like, that just seems weird. So, anyway, that bothers me.
That is, but, well, you know what? We will see next week.
Yeah, it's really good. I really like his relationship with his family, even though this week really wasn't a lot about his family. But I like...
I have a question about the vice president plot line there.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we forgot about that.
Yeah, because you find out the vice president was responsible for the bombing that the little kid got killed in. And so all
and
his
and
anger...
And he finds out that it's also him.
Yeah, and all the anger that... Well, no, they showed him that video before.
Well, that's it. He did not know it ahead of time. They showed him the video when they had done the little kidnapping, and they said, this is who actually did it. And then he gets the phone call saying, would you be interested in being in the politics?
And meeting with the vice president,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, I was like, so all that anger that he has about that kid is going to be directed at the vice president. And so I'm like, I want to see if he can remain cool and calm and not, you know, go over inside the dude's head with a billy club or something. But, yeah.
But the VP is also a target.
Right, I know. That's the whole thing. Everybody's assuming that they're trying to kill the president, but I don't know. Oh, no, the VP's running for president,
He's running for president.
Right. So, yeah, that's who he wants to kill.
Yeah.
So, interesting. It's good. Let's wrap that up. Thumbs up for Homeland.
Yay.
I'm loving where it's going. I have no idea where that is, but I'm loving the ride. Next up is Dexter, and this is the big twist. Because this is what Allison has been talking about for the last couple of weeks. And I feel kind of, not completely like an idiot for not seeing it. But she brought it to light in a really, I mean, it was very, like once she said it, I was like, oh, yes, that's obvious now. Which is the whole...
Fight Club.
Well, Fight Club-ish, whatever. But she kept saying, Allison was like, I'm waiting for the episode where Dexter finds the decayed remains of Edward James Olmos, which was this week. He literally opens up a freezer and Edward James Olmos is folded up in the freezer. So...
Wait, oh, and it's like you can actually see his face or his bones?
No, it's his face.
Oh, okay.
He's frozen. So like you put him in the freezer. So that's why I was kind of like...
Was that the Colin Hanks character? Is that his first killing? Is that the whole reason why that's the person in his head?
I don't know if that's...
Oh, so they don't say that. Okay.
They don't say that's his first killing, but... And you know what my personal theory is maybe Colin Hanks wanted to do these murders and Edward James Olmos was like, dude, you're crazy, you know, and wouldn't go along with it.
Uh-huh.
And so then since he wouldn't follow his delusion, he then killed him, stuck him in the freezer, and then created a version of Edward James Olmos that did follow his delusion.
Right.
So that's kind of how I see where it's going. Why are you looking confused, Marcia?
Only because it seems that I thought I had seen all the Dexters. I didn't realize I've missed the last one. How was his sister killed then?
His sister was... his. Oh, you didn't realize that Edward James Olmos wasn't real?
No.
Oh, yes. That was the big twist of this week's episode, because remember when they're...
Whose sister?
Colin Hanks. Colin Hanks killed his sister, but they made it look like Edward James almost killed his sister.
Who played the sister? Anybody big? Or...
No.
No, okay.
But when they showed Dexter and his dark passenger, remember when they showed Dexter's brother being his dark passenger?
Right.
And they had his brother, it looked like his brother had killed somebody, but it actually was Dexter holding the thing.
Right, holding the pitchfork, yes.
Yes, and so they did that little weird thing where it's your dark passenger that's done it, but then you're standing there holding the pitchfork. Since they did that earlier, that's the logic they're using for, that's how we're seeing Edward James Olmos doing stuff, and it's really Colin Hanks doing it. Because... Edward James almost is looking at the sister, and Colin Hanks is like, "No, you can't kill my sister." And Edward James almost takes a shovel, hits him upside the head. He gets knocked out.
Right.
And then the other personality takes over, and then he goes and kills his own sister.
So I was just thinking on Dexter. Dexter's always been big about, since the show started, Dexter would always have conversations with his dead father.
Right.
So when, because I only saw the premiere of this, when they were showing Edward James almost, did it feel like it was shot the same way?
So not at all.
Oh, this is a in his
head
thing.
No, not even close. No.
All right. That's why. So they're kind of cheating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they have dealt with a character dealing with a dead person in their mind. That has
except that they actually stopped doing that shooting this season. So this season,
wait, what do you mean?
The kind of
dad's not there at all.
Well, he is, but they're not shooting it the same way. They're shooting it like normal.
Oh, so now that's why they can't afford... Okay.
And so, and like his brother, like his he started doing dark stuff, and so his father went away, and his brother showed up as his dark passenger and started getting him to do stuff.
The one from season one.
Yes.
Right.
The serial killer.
Right. Okay. And so he went around killing people with his brother, and then he decided that he had gone too far, and then he kicked his brother out and picked up his father.
Who was waiting for him on the side of the road.
Right.
Hmm.
That was all. That was, and they did. They shot it like it was real, but we knew that they were dead, so we knew they weren't real.
I mean, I haven't seen the season of Dexter except for the premiere, but I had heard that there was a twist, and there was a website I go that was like, you know, most obvious twist ever. And because of that, I was like, oh, I'm like, it's a fight. It must be something like either Edward James Olmos or Colin Hanks. One of them isn't real, but I didn't know which one. And then once you told me, oh, well, the Edward James Olmos character is a real person, I'm like, oh, so it must be that he's dead, you know. But I didn't necessarily know that he killed him.
Right.
So Colin Hanks killed him.
Right.
And your point, I remember we discussed this before, is that in Fight Club, Edward Norton's Tyler Durden character, Brad Pitt, is never real. He's a person that he just makes up in his head. And you're saying, well, in here it's a little different because Edward James Olmos was a real person.
And they're and they're looking at his journals and they're talking to
right,
his
so
students.
There can be fingerprints, there can be records of this person. But it is still the visual, which is, ha-ha, there's only one person, right?
Right.
I mean, it's still the same surprise.
But it wasn't, right. they weren't as obvious about it at the beginning. Because they were in places where it's not a big, like they were in that broken down church where it was just the two of them. And so that was no big deal that it was just the two of them. That's not odd. They didn't start giving you real clues until they started going out in public together, which didn't happen.
Well, because then only one person is being talked to.
Right.
Right, right.
And so that didn't, that was when Allison figured it out. They went to lunch at this cafe, and Colin Hanks had coffee and Edward James Olmos didn't.
Does he say,
and
are she going to get anything?
No,
or?
He doesn't. And I thought it was odd that she didn't turn to him and say, and what would you like?
Yeah, the waitress.
She was only
talking only
talked
to
him.
Colin Hanks.
Which I took as a flirtation.
Right.
But it was kind of weird at the time, but I didn't think anything of it.
Right. They played it as if the waitress was flirting with Colin Hanks, so it wasn't that big of a deal that she didn't talk to Edward James Olmos.
So it's almost like that movie where... The ghost, where
right.
only the one character...
You mean the Sixth Sense?
Yeah.
Sixth Sense. So it's a Sixth Sense kind of thing.
Yeah, and so only one character is really being spoken to. But you don't realize it at first. It didn't really become super, super obvious to where you're rolling your eyes, I think, until actually last week's episode, where they're hunting down Edward James Olmos' character, and only Colin Hanks, like... Well, no, it was this week's episode. Like, Dexter and Colin Hanks are sitting in a car waiting for Edward James Olmos, right? Because... Dexter thinks he's real, and they're supposed to stop him from killing someone. And Dexter literally blinks. He like puts his, he closes his eyes for a second because they've been at a stakeout. And Colin Hanks goes, "He's right there." And by the time he opens his eyes, there's nobody there. So he takes the guy's word for it that they're chasing someone. So they're chasing him through the halls, and Colin Hanks is the only one who sees the back of his head and stuff like that. and he's taking his lead off of this guy, and then somebody ends up dead. They split up, and then when they get back together, somebody's dead, and they think, oh, Everdeen's almost killed him, but it was really Colin Hanks that ran and did it. But you know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that. But
so he's not really a serial killer in that he's more that he's got multiple personalities.
Right. And psycho. One of his personalities is a serial killer.
Okay.
Well. And he's been trying to stop him, but he can't figure out how to stop him. But the thing is he's also partially conscious of it because he got a message written in blood on the wall. Like, there was a murder scene and the hand was missing. So Colin Hanks gets back to his hotel and the hand is in his sink. And there's a blood message that says, get Dexter to the church. And he looks at the message, and he's still his good guy persona, but he totally gets Dexter to the church. And he doesn't tell, he's like, Dexter's like, did you find anything weird? He's like, no, didn't find anything weird at all. And so it's kind of, only thing is, it's like, how did he chain himself and burn himself? Like, that was like little weird stuff like that. But I thought in the last few episodes, they wanted the audience to figure it out. Like, they've had, like, Colin Hanks looks up and he sees Edward James almost on the balcony. And by the time Dexter turns around, he's gone. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
okay, so setting free that that woman was a red herring for us.
Yes, okay. Because, yeah, that Colin Hanks felt guilty about the woman being tortured, and so he's, and the woman says, I heard the two of them arguing, you know, and she was like, there's a younger one and an old man, and the younger one set me free. So yeah,
so maybe he's actually, unlike Dexter, who is talking but he's talking in his head, Hanks actually talks out loud.
Yeah, well, Dexter has been talking out loud this season. He really has been, because when he was at that hotel and he was yelling and he was arguing with his brother, the other dude came in and was like, who the heck are you talking to?
Oh.
It's so funny. Now I'm starting to think about how many shows have used this. I mean, Battlestar Galactica, right?
Right.
Uses that device. A lot of, I mean, it's interesting. And then, said in American Horror Story, they have like a weird twist on it where it's like the husband sees a different version of the
maid. Well, a lot of the men.
So there are a lot of shows that have used. I mean, I love it on Battlestar Galactica because I think the guy playing Baltar does such a great job of every time we would catch him where he's by himself, or, you know, someone would look at him and he's like, what are you doing? You know, like, I was like that.
Yeah,
so.
But at least at BSG, you knew.
Okay, next, yes. Let's talk about Once Upon a Time. Amy, you haven't talked in a minute. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, well, because I didn't watch Dexter. But anyway, I really like Once Upon a Time, and I love the where it's going. And, it's really clever, I think, having a Jiminy Cricket character called Mr. Hopper.
I loved that.
His flashback was really good. Like,
it felt really bad.
Yeah, it's like I can't get away from my parents. And then he tries to kill his parents.
And it's
like,
the mayor.
Yeah. And he tries to kill his parents, and epic fail on that. You know?
When I say the mayor, I mean the Buffy mayor.
I know who you meant.
Well, everybody knows.
Okay. I got confused for a second there when you
said, because I realized, because the evil witch is also called the mayor. So
I was like,
that might be confusing. So
but I knew who you were talking about.
I meant
about
the Buffy mayor. Yes.
I like what they're doing with Charming, a.k.a. John Doe, and Snow White, a.k.a. Mary Margaret.
Right. Yeah, because I love their romance. They're like, they're that epic romance that can't be denied, but he's engaged to somebody else and everybody feels bad, but they shouldn't. But they don't know it.
How come the one he's engaged or married to or is engaged?
He's engaged to her.
How come in the past life she was kind of bratty? She seems like a good person now. In fact, Snow White even says that. She's like, why does she have to be a good person? Is it an act or something?
No,
like,
I don't know.
The mayor, some people, their personalities change slightly, and some people, they don't change at all. And it's part of the mayor's spell.
Like, Rumpelstiltskin's pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't really affected by the spell. Like, he has all the
powers. That's true. Right.
Yeah.
Well, he was partially.
He warned that he'd be partially affected by the spell, but not completely. He warned her when he was in the cell.
I want to say that the fiance, she seems like she's popping up every now and then, like, oh, hello, remember me? This was our dog. This is your favorite food. Hello.
Yeah, and she every time she always shows.
I don't think she's real. I don't think they were engaged. I think it was.
No, he was. They had the flashback. They showed her.
No, we saw. Yeah, we definitely
the flashback.
But she's really bratty.
Yeah,
he
was
totally
natural.
That's why I was like,
Yeah, no, he was engaged in the other world, but not in this world.
Oh, you're saying you don't know if they're engaged in this
world? I think in this world, she's being encouraged to be this because to keep them apart again.
Right.
This is, because remember, the mayor tells everybody how to do their jobs.
That could be.
Yeah, and she always shows up just in time to break up a
storm. Of course, right.
So there's that, but the main thing this week was apparently the city is underneath the town. You know, because they went down in that cave and they kept finding little pieces of the glass.
Well, you know what the glass is. According to Espenson, that's the coffin.
Oh, her coffin.
It's her coffin. Or Espenson tweeted, she says, I'm giving you all a spoiler. It's really her coffin.
Wait, whose coffin? Sorry.
Oh, Snow White. Remember Snow White gets, when she falls asleep, she takes the poison apple, she falls asleep.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
That's the glass coffin. Oh. It's
and then she tosses it at the end.
Right.
Because I kept
wondering how much the mayor remembered, but because she knew to hide that, she obviously remembers
everything. She remembers everything. Amy, you were starting to say that you liked...
Sorry, what?
You were starting to say about how there was something else that you liked?
Oh, well, underneath the town, it's supposedly a mine, though, isn't it?
Right, but beneath the mine is... It looks like pieces of the other world are there.
Yeah, clearly. I mean,
right. That's why
a big reveal.
And that's why she wanted to make sure nobody goes in that mine because she doesn't want anybody to see any of that stuff. But apparently, as soon as Emma put on the badge, it literally shook the town. That meant that she was staying.
Oh,
so it's breaking the curse more.
Wow. So it's a big boom when she put it on.
Right. Coincidence? I think not.
I also like the connection with the umbrella.
Oh, with the Jiminy Cricket?
Then he has this umbrella as a kid and then saves him.
Saves him, yeah, totally.
And then when he's turned into the cricket, that was so cute.
He still has the umbrella.
The little tie, tucks and tails.
Hey, I got a question because I think I haven't seen the pilot in forever, but I just watched all the other ones like in the last 2 days. Who's the waitress? Why is she... Is she supposed to be Red Riding Hood or something?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I'm like, what's with the weird sexy waitress that they're always like... Okay, so she's Red Riding Hood?
Right, because she's living with her grandmother.
Oh, okay. All right. That's all. but I really like the show. I think it's a lot of fun. I don't think it's like best show ever, but I mean... But it's a very watchable show. I mean, it's so easy to just keep watching the next episode and everything. And it's nice to see them doing the riff on the Boy in a Well episode of this. Like, because like, the whole town are waiting for him to get up there and everything.
And everybody claps, yeah.
I'm totally liking it. You know?
I like the way they're doing the backstory. And the idea that this is a show put in the time slot that Disney used to always have their movies for families to watch. And this is something that's done on a quality level where an adult can watch it. An adult can watch it with their children, or their children can watch it by themselves. You don't have to worry that there's anything weird or anything's going to be said or done.
No. All yet, because
usually I hate children's shows because they're too nice. But this is still done on a level where it's intelligent. It's good writing. I'm shocked as all hell that it's good writing.
I still feel like the show... And I know it's going to sound like an insult, and I don't mean this as an insult, but I still feel like when they pitch this, it's very much like they're like, it's Desperate Housewives, but you know, a fairy tale. Because to me, the best parts of the show are the women characters.
Yeah, but there's three.
But really, but they're my three favorite.
But when they pitch the show...
And I like all that. That's what I really like about it.
But when they pitch the show, it was not this show. When they it was Fables, and which would be very dark... And when they gave it to Jane Espenson, she redid the pilot. She redid everything. She redid the storyline, the whole thing. Because what they had before died on the vine. So you're going to have a very powerful woman showrunner who's going to make sure that this, since children are watching it, that it's more of an equal between the females and the males.
Well, not really equal.
Not really.
The women are in charge.
But that's fine. I don't mind that. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
All right.
But
I was going to say, let's wrap that up and let's move on to... thumbs up, obviously.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Let's move on to the mid-season finale for Walking Dead. And I'm just going to say one thing that Allison said to me yesterday. I hadn't seen it yet. She was like, as much as you hate Shane before, you're gonna want to hunt down and kill him by the time you're done. And I was like, really? I was like, I hate him a lot.
I hate that character.
Man, what he does this week...
I just want Shane to go away.
What he does this week is like...
Does anybody like this character? I mean, because as a fan of the comic book, that guy died in the third issue.
Well,
so
the thing is,
does anybody who watched the show, do you guys like that character?
No, you're not supposed to.
But okay, but right, but you didn't like Baltar. But on BSG, but he's clearly an integral part of the show. Do you?
Baltar. I liked his character.
Well, Olivia didn't. You were not a. The actor was good.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you saying he's like Baltar?
No. He's just despicable.
Right. So I mean.
But I'm not blaming that on the actor.
Okay.
The actor's
doing
a good job because I really, really hate him. Like I saw him in something else, and I immediately hated him, and I was like, wait. It's like he's in a totally different role.
Do you think you hate him? Do you think you hate him in a way that brings something to the show that has a value? Or do you I just really want this character done?
I mean, I think it's valuable in that it's true. Like, when you're in a group like that, you're going to have somebody like that.
True. But we've already... that's true. That's true. Right.
Right. And they got rid of all those other characters. And now what they've shown is that world has stripped away civility from this character. Because he used to be... He might have underneath been a jerk, but civilization made him pretend that he wasn't.
Right.
And so now that you've stripped away civilization from him, you see his true self.
May I ask you a question? I mean, I'm going to watch it eventually, but I don't mind if you've all seen it. This is the mid-season finale?
Yeah.
Okay, so... Does the mid-season finale end with them discovering a new location? Because that's what anybody who reads the graphic novel, that's the big thing we're waiting for.
The thing is they're stuck. They're going to have to leave now. But
they're on the farm.
They're on the farm.
Okay, so
and they've pretty much been on the farm the whole season. But
I can get a little tired.
But it's like they discover the farm like two or three episodes in. They discover the farm and. And, you know, there's excitement because people are shot, stuff's going on, everything's running crazy. But the guy who's running the farm is all like, well, you know, after your boy heals up, you're going to have to leave. And everybody's like, well, that's weird. Why would you make everybody leave? And he keeps saying, and I was like, what's going on with this guy? And then you discover their big secret.
Yes.
Which is the barn where they've got dozens of walkers hanging out in the barn.
Well, because it's their family members.
Right.
Stuff. Yeah, that was pretty good. In the graphic novel, that was really good.
Well,
like,
and that's
why it's a secret.
That's why it's a secret.
So wait, was that the mid-season finale?
The mid-season finale was Shane freaking losing his mind, hands out the guns to everybody in their group. He opens the barn and he was like, what are you going to do to survive? And so once he opens the barn, you got to kill him. So
that's different because obviously
it became like this massacre. Like and it was the first time I actually almost felt bad for the walkers because they were literally just coming out of that barn kind of one at a time, shuffling, and they were putting bullets in their heads, you know. And it was just like,
so what did the guy who owned the farm what did he say,
Amy?
But they want to eat your brains.
Well, that's true. They do want to eat your brains. But the guy who owned the farm like basically had a breakdown. He just totally lost it. He just collapsed and was like totally just lost his mind. And the thing that was heart-wrenching, the absolute heart, because they are staying on the farm because they're looking for the little girl. I don't think you've watched the pilot of the little girl.
They never found the little girl yet?
That's why they were staying, Sophia. They were staying because they were looking for her. So they've been looking for her. She's in the freaking barn. So the little girl comes out of the barn.
What? So she's a zombie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
And
oh,
it was just,
good. Okay.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, sounds heart-wrenching.
It was, because the little boy was all like, we're not leaving until we find Sophia. I'm not going to leave until we find her. Like, he was standing up, you know? He was very much like, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to find her because she's my friend and blah, blah, blah. And he's just bawling. And the mom
actually sounds pretty good.
And then I was like, you know, as much as Shane was talking crap about we're going to have to do with survival, he didn't have the freaking guts to shoot her. Shane just stood there with his mouth hanging open, and Rick had to kill her. And
so that's the last episode.
That's the last shot. The last shot is like his smoking barrel, and then it goes to black.
That's so good.
It was a good finale. I'm not arguing that. And I know that there have been less zombies because they've been on this farm, but that's kind of the point of the farm. The farm was like,
it's
safe.
Right.
We're not in the middle of the, you know, that's why we want to stay. But now after they've done that, there's no way they can stay.
Let me see if I remember correctly that it starts out from the barrel of the gun too, and then it widens out to bird's eye view.
Oh yeah, and then as the girl's laying dead,
Amy, did you like it?
Yeah, I really like that it's going closer along with the graphic novel.
Yeah, because the barn, that's pretty good. That is pretty good. So,
except for Sophia and all that. But you can't
and Shane, right? But they do get out and everything. They do have to get killed. All that's true. So,
it was good.
I'm just wondering where they're going to take it. All right. Well, I got to catch up. How many episodes was that?
Eight? It wasn't that many. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to know where they're going to take it. Isn't that part of watching a show is to be surprised? Well,
but I've read all the episodes. The comic. So for me, it's more I'm just checking off. Oh, they've done that. It's
different. Oh, okay.
Kind of like for her reading Game of Thrones.
I don't want to reveal it for people who haven't read the
graphic. Yeah, don't reveal.
No, I don't want to say anything. No,
I don't want any spoilers. But yeah, I thought it was a good cliffhanger because they said they're coming back in February. So we have until February for new episodes, but man, Shane is out of his mind. Like, he lost it. He was screaming and yelling at them, and basically, because everybody was like, Rick is in charge, and Shane was like, only if we let him, and we can do whatever we want, and Rick is weak, Rick doesn't know how to survive in this world, and we're going to have to do this, and it's like... I understand he's right in the concept that you don't want a bunch of walkers. But you don't want a bunch of walkers in the barn. Absolutely correct on that. However, now they can't stay. Right. And that was Rick's point, was like, if we kill the walkers, he's going to kick us out. You know, we can't stay if we kill them. We have to
obey. Does Shane just want to kill the guy who owns the barn? Is that Shane?
Well, I'm sure that's what he's thinking.
Does he say that?
No, he says that, Herschel's just going to have to understand. And I was like, I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I don't think Herschel's just going to understand that you just killed his wife and his stepson.
I mean, a part of the series of The Walking Dead is that the leadership abilities of Rick always does come into question. That is part of the show and the comic. Right. So I'm not saying that. I guess the Shane thing is so weird to me. So,
well, but Shane carries heavier weight when he disagrees with Rick because he was the leader before Rick.
True.
That's why it carries a little more weight. People are used to following him as well.
Right.
But we've got two alpha males warring against each other.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's going to be, that's the problem.
I'll call Rick more of a beta guy. But remember the first season when it was good?
In
the first season, you did have a person whose wife was killed, turned into a walker, who if he could have, I mean, didn't he shot his wife.
He eventually, he just watched her for a while, but he eventually did shoot her.
Okay, so for somebody to be keeping all of these people, I hate to say, Shane was right.
I'm not saying Shane's not right. I'm agreeing. However, they said the difference was he only saw what happened on the television. They made that very clear. He watched all the stuff that was happening on the television until the feeds went out. So his experience with the walkers is not the same. They've only had to deal with one or two at a time. And one or two at a time is manageable. Nobody's really ever been killed. They know not to go around where there's a lot of them, but they've only been attacked by one or two at a time. So for him, the walkers are not that dangerous.
And it's still the point that even if Shane's right, why is it Shane's call? It's not his fault.
And the way he did it, and the way he did it made it unforgivable. Like, there were, that's why Rick, he forced the issue.
Right,
And Rick was trying to be diplomatic. He was trying to negotiate. He was trying to figure out a way for them to stay and for everybody to be happy. And that's what a good leader does, I think. Yes. But, yeah, what Shane did, everyone was like, everybody was standing there appalled, you know, because it actually looked like a massacre. It was a weird thing that this is the first time it ever looked like something bad.
Hmm.
Okay. So what's her name? The blonde chick has totally lost her mind. I don't know what's going on with her. But yeah.
Oh, Andrea?
Yeah, Andrea's lost it.
Well, she's had too much happening.
The old guy's still there?
Yeah, but he almost got killed this week. I was so afraid because he knew that Shane was going to force the issue and kill all the walkers. So he took all the guns and he was trying to hide them. But then Shane realized that's what he was going to do. And so he went after him. So it's just the two of them in the woods. And he was like, Shane actually tells the old man, he's like, you're already dead. You just don't know it. And I was like, run? You know? And he basically told him, because the old man's the only one who sees that Shane is a psychopath. And he basically said that if you think that I was willing to kill my best friend, what do you think I'll do to you? Hmm. So he's already threatened him. And I was like, get out of the woods! I was like, don't stay! But anyway, it's a good episode, good finale. So, thumbs up. And now we're going to have to crank through these next ones because we spent way too much time talking about the first one.
Well, they're both big finale shows.
Yeah. So. All right. Quick, fast discussion. All right. Next up, we're going to talk about Terra Nova. And the stuff that was going on in Terra Nova, blah. The stuff that was going on with Taylor, because I tell you, Taylor's my new favorite character. He's the reason I watch the show now. And it was him and Mara, I think her name is. Is that right, Amy?
Let me think. I think it's... Give me a second, it'll come back to me.
Well...
Oh, wait, I got it. Mira.
Mira, close. It was one letter off. But the two of them stuck together out in the woods fighting against dinosaurs, and it actually made them allies, and they actually exchanged personal information. Because they've been enemies for so long that they've respected each other as enemies, but they haven't really known each other. So them being stuck in the woods with no transportation, no gun, having to fight dinosaurs, they actually kind of almost became friends. And it was like, they were like...
Unless they have more in common than they thought.
Right. And they basically were like, you know what? If we, because I think Taylor said something like, you know, if this was some sort of alternate reality, I think we would be best friends. And she was like, yeah. Hmm. So that was a really good character building moment, and I really liked it. So all that stuff was great. The stuff at the base where they're trying to figure out who the spy is, and they reveal to the audience who the spy is, which means they better freaking tell everybody else very soon. Because they made it like this girl that you haven't really been paying attention to. She's basically the girl that likes the sun, and she's a nice person. And they give her a good reason to be being the spy. Like, the Sixers have her mother, and they basically are keeping her mother... Her mother needs this medicine, and they're only giving her mother the medicine when she gives them information. Hmm. So...
She hasn't even been seen in, like, several weeks.
Right. Yeah, but I like the character. She's okay. But I feel like now that they've revealed to us as the audience who it is, that the characters need to figure it out very soon, which I feel is coming. But basically, and of course, they make it the heart-wrenching thing, and that Taylor lost his son, and he's kind of adopted her as his daughter. And then, of course, to find out that she's going to become, you know, when he finds out she's the spy, that's going to be heartbreaking or whatever. But
good drama.
I mean, and their finale, possibly series finale, will be next week because it costs a ridiculous amount of money to make the show, and the ratings are, they're all right. So we don't know if it's going to come back, but this is basically all Fox is willing to pay for this season. And then they'll make the decision later. But I don't know if I'd cry if it didn't come back.
And it costs a lot of money to put dinosaurs on the screen.
Yeah, it does. And it needed to be a hit. For them to keep making it, the show needed to be a hit versus mediocre. So, and I think part of it is just the writing. The writing has been mediocre. So, there you go. All right, next up, let's talk about the closer. The closer's come back since, last episode was the summer?
Yeah, it's a while ago.
Yeah, so it just came back. And this episode,
is this taking us to the finale of the show?
Yes.
Ooh, very exciting. Okay.
Yeah. So you were saying you thought it was going to be the Christmas episode, but it's the episode before the Christmas episode.
Oh, okay.
And I personally like Mary McDonald's character this week, where she's like, I'm going to retire. I hate doing this job. I hate this. I hate, you know, like everybody treats me like crap and blah, 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 blah. And I like the fact that it was a ruse.
Yeah, it was just to try to figure out, is there a mole?
Right,
and
right.
Now it's confirmed, and I know who it is.
You think you know who it is?
I think I know who it is, too.
Go, I'm listening.
I think it's Commander Taylor.
Yeah, hell yeah. He wants to get rid of her so desperately, he doesn't care who he takes down.
I totally think it's Commander Taylor.
He's hated her. He's hated her from the beginning.
But he's never liked her, so would that be that much of a
surprise? No.
No, but he's starting, they've been working together, they've been doing everything, but the thing is every time some information has leaked, Commander Taylor finds out about it like right before it leaks.
Like, and he is the one in the room.
Right.
Unless it's J.K. Simmons.
I think
it's Pope.
It's not Pope. I think it's a combination of he hated her from the beginning because she, when she came in, she got a title and a pay grade that she didn't have to work for, because when she was brought in, she either was going to have to be brought in at the lowest or up above, okay? Because that's just the way it is at LAPD. And so he was pissed that she had no... She
and
had never
he just
been
got
LAPD.
Passed over for promotion.
Right.
And
he just
Pope almost just did that to Mary McDonald.
Right. And did you see the look on his face?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Now, and they had him do the announcement about the murders when they knew that it was wrong. So they had him out there talking
making
about...
Making a fool of himself.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
I can live with that.
Right. Yes.
And so he's the joke. He doesn't like being the joke.
When the new police chief died... He was supposed to be second up, and now he's back down to be what, fourth up?
Right.
Oh, he's furious, and he's always said from the beginning that he knows how to play the political game in LAPD. He has said that from the beginning.
Right.
And this is what I see.
I think you're right. The episode itself, I thought was okay, but yeah, I think you're right.
But yeah, the episode. Yeah,
the case
all right.
was all right.
Okay, I don't even remember it, but
I think the case was the B plot.
Right,
the A plot was
what's
which
going
you
on
didn't,
with
which
the
you
art.
Didn't even know that it was the A plot.
Right,
that.
Right, which is getting to the scene at the end with McDonald and the lawyer guy.
Right,
yeah.
Well, it's a shame we didn't get to see the other lawyer guy. I love that character.
Oh yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's
oh,
awesome.
he'll be back. I think in a couple of episodes.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Yeah,
you know, but it's just she knows how to play the politics too. And she's playing the game, but nobody knew she was playing the game.
Right.
Oh, well, that was a side stop. The B plot that you're saying, which is normally the case, the actor that played the coach.
Oh, he was really good.
Who's been in most? He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really, that's kind of a, we've seen that kind of character, but the guy really sold it.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's pretty good. Even though you're right, it wasn't really like the best story, but he was good. Yeah.
All right, wrapping up the closer, thumbs up.
Yes.
You want to talk about Glee? We haven't talked about Glee in forever.
Well, Glee was a few weeks ago, Glee had a big, like almost felt like part one, and where basically there's a big confrontation between Santana and is it Finn? Is that the dude's name?
Yeah,
the bland guy.
Blanders. Yeah.
And so he basically is telling her she needs to come out, and then at the same time, Sue's campaign, someone writes an alternate commercial where they're gonna out Santana,
right?
Because they're like, oh, Sue's so much says she's from profound. So this was the second episode. Actually, I thought it was okay. They actually had an interesting. They did a rendition of Cyndi Lauper's "Girls Just Want to Have Fun." It was really like mellow and like kind of sad.
Really,
it was kind of like and actually it was a pretty good moment because then at the end that's when Santana and Finn kind of make up and they hug and everything. But the episode itself was all right. They're basically leading up to, and I was surprised they didn't. Oh wait, no, actually, I'm sorry. They did do it. They're leading up to who becomes the class president,
mm-hmm.
and at one point. Kurt thinks about about how Kennedy, in real life, Kennedy had the whole, like, the mob, stuffed the ballots and everything for Illinois. So he's thinking about that and thinking about that, but he's like, no, I can't do that. That would be cheating. And then at the end, they're like, well, Kurt won, but they're like, but you won by more votes than there are students. And they're like, what's the deal with that? And he's like, no, I thought about it, but I didn't cheat. I'm positive. And then it turns out it was Rachel.
She cheated for him?
She cheated for him. So at the end, the big finale is that she... I don't think
she's been suspended.
Oh,
yeah,
she's been suspended. But the bigger thing than being suspended is she can't be in the she can't be in the Glee finals.
Oh.
So that's the whole, whoa, now what are they going to do? Like, you know, how are they going to have not her and everything? But actually, I thought the episode was okay.
I personally think she's not the best singer of the group, so...
Well, no, she is because the Mercedes is in the other group. Remember, that's... Oh, you haven't watched it. Remember, they divided into two groups now. There's the regular Glee group, and then there's this new group that Rachel's mother, the singer, she's like a teacher now, and she's got her own like group. And so Mercedes and Santana, a lot of them went to that. So Rachel is kind of in the Glee. She is the best one now.
Ooh.
So, but I mean, the episode was okay. Like, I mean, I was like, eh, it's all right, you know. So, all
right.
Yeah, I think the big deal about this episode was that Santana comes out to her family.
She comes out to the world.
She comes out to her grandmother. Who says,
terrible.
Yeah, you couldn't have kept it a secret,
yeah.
you know, and get out
leave
of my
house forever. Yeah, that was
which,
bad.
Which I will say, of a lot of the stuff that they've done on the show, which I've gone, oh, it's just a little too cutesy pie. This is only the second thing that they've done, in my opinion, that's realistic. However, somewhere along the line, it's going to be sweetened up again.
Probably. I did feel pretty bad for Santana.
Yeah.
That was really hard, man.
Well, you know,
like,
that was why she knew to keep her mouth shut before, because
right.
she knew it was going to happen.
I forgot about that, Mercedes. Yeah, that was a good scene. So, all right. Yeah.
wrapping up. Next up is Psych. And this is a return of Psych. And they they had the big commercials like, going boldly where no one has gone before. Because they basically, they got the big one. They got William Shatner to be on the show as Julie's deadbeat dad.
And he just cannot escape the Star Trek references, ever. He never will.
No, not going to happen. Because but and I think he's resigned himself to that at this point. But it was great because he didn't play a Kirk-like character at all. He just played this, oh, he was so slimy. His character was just like a like you understood why she hated him. They had like this flashback to her as a little girl and showed why, and then they show her now and she's just not interested in seeing him, and you find out he's a con man, he's a crook, which is why she became a cop.
So more like Denny Crane, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Well, it was Denny. I thought he was a lawyer.
Yeah, but he's kind of slimy.
Oh, okay. Like,
kind of weird.
But yeah, her whole thing was, and in the middle of their investigation to do some crime ring, he ends up taking over the crime ring and actually pulling off the crime and blaming it on the other guys, which was brilliant. I have to give him credit. That was a brilliant scam. He was really good with that, except he pretty much screwed his daughter. So, but the jewel was worth $2 million, $4 million, something like that. So I was like, eh. But, you know, it was all, that was a good syrupy father-daughter moment, and William Shatner rocked the house. He was really good. He was, like, normally the guest stars are, they don't take up that much screen time, but they pretty much just gave it to him. They were just like, all right, the entire episode's about you. And then when you see, I think they had, like, some behind-the-scenes Twitters and stuff, and the two main cast members were just like, oh my god, it's William Shatner! Like, they were going nuts. So, this is a good episode.
The reconciliation between Juliet and her dad was sweet, but just kind of cheesy and unbelievable that after 30 years of resentment, they'd be resolved.
Well, they weren't really resolved, because he tried to hug her, and she was like, yeah, too soon.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't think it was resolved. It was to the fact, well, because before she was like, I never want to see you again in life. And so then she was kind of like backed up to, all right, I might see you again, maybe. So that's not really a resolve, I didn't think. I didn't think it was too bad.
It's an attempt.
It was an attempt, yes. Next up, Community.
Awesome. It was really funny. Annie is being Annie, and she is, because she's living with Troy and Abed, and Troy and Abed are very excited about watching Abed's hard-to-get special Blu-ray edition.
It was like, what? It was like $200?
Yeah, The Dark Knight with special commentary by Christian Bale. And
specifically for Abed, right?
Yeah. And so Annie is being Annie at the apartment, and she's cleaning more than she probably should, and she steps on the Blu-ray and breaks it. And Troy comes home and is just like, do you know how many episodes there's been where somebody tries to get away with something to make it look like someone else did it? Abed has seen all those episodes. You can't do this. You just have to be honest. And then, right, of course, Abed comes home. She's like, we've been robbed! And they only took that and this thing my Nana gave me, this particular Jewish necklace or whatever. And like, and that was really funny. And then there's a part where Annie's like, well, maybe I can fake the commentary and I'll talk like this, like Christian Bale. That was great. No, it was really funny.
It was great. I mean, especially when Abed decides to take, because they bring the police. The police don't, they're like, yeah, you're never going to find it. So he basically dresses up as Batman
right,
to try to solve the crime. And he's like, obviously our landlord stole it. It was an inside job.
And the landlord has a shoe fetish in his closet. And then they're like, is the DVD there? Oh, it's right here. You know, like, where did you get that? Because she's, obviously it was in her purse or whatever.
Right.
Like, but,
and she's like, for some reason, he crushed it.
Yeah.
Like, what? So, yeah. And then finally, she's like, look, you know, I did it. But I know it was great, though, when he went down he had the grappling hook and went down the line, and he totally couldn't do it right.
Right.
That was so funny. But she finally, you know, she does her, finally admits it, and he was like, Batman was like, well, I, of course, as the Dark Knight, understand, but you probably shouldn't tell Abed.
Oh, that's right! Yeah, right. And then he leaves and comes back as Abed. Right, yeah.
And she's like, and Troy totally plays along. He's like, oh, Abed, you're back. And she goes, really? Like, what is going on with you two? It was all pretty
good.
Wait,
what was the, because that was so good, what was the other story? I don't even remember. What was Jeff Winger and Chevy Chase doing?
There was the foosball.
Oh, actually, I did like that. I liked that it came back to the two of them knowing each other as kids.
Children,
that
right.
Was pretty, okay, I did like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was
yeah.
pretty good because he's like, he says, I stopped playing foosball because I had a traumatic foosball experience. And she, and then you find a big reveal, she actually knows how to play foosball. So right. like, I don't play it anymore because it makes you evil. And then
of course, he loves her as evil.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
And then it comes together and you realize they are the reason that they both stopped right. playing foosball.
And it, actually, that was cute at the end. It was like the little kids walking away.
Right.
Yeah, that was, I did like that too. I think I just laughed more at the Annie Abed story.
Yeah, I thought both stories were
good. That was probably one of their best ones in a while. Because actually, I think the last two have been okay. Right. So I thought this was good. You know, so yeah,
thumbs up. Right, even though we don't know when we're gonna get Community again, right?
Well, I know it's on hold, but that doesn't mean. Wait, is that a whole like shooting? Or does that mean that they've got?
Yeah,
so they might have more episodes to give us, though.
Yeah, but still, sadness. Yeah. All right, yeah. Next up, I want to talk about Burn Notice. I think I am the only one in the room who watched it. Is that correct?
I haven't seen it since it's come back. Last thing I saw was the big thing that he's gonna work with the guy and. What really happened with Michael's father?
Well, and see, that's so the thing is that dude who
I forgot what the actor who knows place or whatever, but yeah,
he's basically been blackmailing them to do different missions. And so this season, it's only been back for like 3 or 4 episodes, and so he's basically been blackmailing Michael to do a couple missions for him. And you find out that the mom had been dating somebody, and you find out that guy was like a spy for the other guy. And so as soon as Michael figures out that dude's a spy, that dude blows him up. So his mom is really mad at him because it's his fault that she was dating somebody who was a spy. And that guy got blown up. And so she...
What do you mean literally blown up?
Literally blown up.
Oh,
like with an explosion.
Oh, okay. I should know because it is Burn Notice.
Right. So she basically smacks the crap out of him. She hits him like in the next week. And tells him, get out of my house.
Whoa.
And the look on his face was fantastic. It was just like, man, does your mom love you? Like, no, right now she does not.
Whoa.
And he was just, it was devastating. It was really great. And so they're doing some case, trying to save some girl from a hitman, whatever. That's not really important. The important part is the dude that's been blackmailing them, he has information that they need to solve their little case to save this woman. And he was like, well, why should I help you? And he was like, well, you know, if you don't, then I'll probably get killed, and it's in your best interest. So he said, fine, as long as I can ride with you and ask you questions, because he likes to get in Michael's psyche. And you find out he basically was the mom's psychiatrist for years, trying to get Michael's backstory.
Hmm.
And they reveal that thing in the premiere, that he had been the mom's psychiatrist. So his whole thing is he wants to get inside of Michael's head. So he's like, every piece of information I give you to help solve your case, I get to ask you a question. So you go through the whole thing and he basically totally breaks down Michael psychologically, which is a really good episode to see all the insides and workings of his head. And then at the very end, you find the big reveal, that's pretty much the reveal for the season, was that Michael's father actually used to be an asset of somebody, you know, and that dude was his father's psychiatrist. And he found Michael, the guy was talking, the reason that Michael got on his radar was when that guy was talking and he would talk about his son, that got him interested in Michael in the first place, which got Michael burned. Like that's where the trail led. But then apparently the father figured out, you're paying too much attention to my son. And so he tried to break off the thing and get away. And he's like, and then we needed to give him a heart attack. And so basically, he just told Michael, I killed your father.
So he's dead then?
Yeah.
So I kept thinking he wasn't going to be dead.
You know, but they did this. They kept bringing up the father because now when this guy's like, I killed your father, it has a little more impact.
Right.
And then at the end, he's like, yeah, we had to do some blah, blah, blah. And I know he's a jerk and you hated him. And he goes, and you're welcome. That's what he said to him, and he walked off. I was like, wow.
So what does Michael do?
He's just standing there stunned. He just stands there. Like, what can he do?
Hmm.
Like, because the guy, basically, if he kills him, Fee is screwed. Like, she goes to jail for the rest of her life if he kills him. But he is now, like, that's kind of how the season ended, with him just rolling that around in his brain.
Interesting.
So, well, the episode, not the season. But it was a good episode. Thumbs up. Cool. So now we knew where all that angst about his dad was coming from, or where that was going. All right. Next up is Bones. Did you see that, Amy?
Yes, I did. And I just want to say that the goo in the box, absolutely disgusting.
That was the one they mailed the guy in, like, different boxes. Like, his arm was, like, in one box and his thigh was in another box. And they ended up putting them all back together. Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And gooey.
The thing that is interesting about Bones is that this season, I find I like it a lot more because the other seasons have been, like, this tension between Bones and Booth and are they or aren't they, blah, 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 blah. But since the actors got pregnant, they're just like, you know what? They did. She's pregnant. They moved in together. Go. And they just kind of skipped a lot of steps, but now they're just like a couple that's kind of trying to figure out how to deal with each other, and I like it.
And the show's not any worse for wear because of it.
No, I really like where they're going with it. I like the show better now, especially because they have awkward, intimate moments in that she knows that she needs to comfort Booth, but she doesn't know how to do it.
Because his father died.
Right. Also, jerk, drunk father, very similar to Burn Notice we were just talking about. Yeah, so, yeah, it was. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, Bones as a show is a fun, kind of mindless show. But it's one of those shows where you don't really care about the case. You more care about the characters and are they enjoying themselves and is stuff interesting happening to them. So in this case, I would say yes. Because I like the granddad came, except that what's distracting is he's the same guy that plays Gibbs' father on NCIS, and I'm like, wait, what? So that always throws me off when it's like, okay, you're the father, you're the grandfather in this show, and you're the father on that show. Okay, cool. Like I said, Bones is more of a, you want to watch it, watch it. It's a guilty pleasure for me, but I think it's been better this season than it has any other season, which is strange for a show to, I think, improve as the season goes, because I think the relationship between the characters really works better now. But that's it for this week. And if you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We are also on getthepointradio.com and kryptonradio.com.
Woohoo.
Talk to you guys next week.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.